This morning, folks, we're going to be starting a new series, and we're going to be talking about the apostles, and I hope that everyone enjoys it as much as I think you will. Every one of the apostles, folks, guess what? They were just like you and me. They were nothing special. They were just people that were working every day a job that some kind of way got called to be a follower of Christ. How did they get to be a follower of Christ? Well, Christ, he spoke to their heart, and they knew that they were followers, they were going to be followers of Christ. And now that's what I want us to think about today as we read the few verses of Scripture. I want you to see how that John the Baptist, he had came to prepare a way for Jesus. We all know this story. And there was people that were following John the Baptist too. They followed him around. And so we're going to be talking this morning about Andrew. And we're going to be talking about how Andrew begin to follow Christ. So let's read the scripture first, and then we'll get started. Our scripture starts in 35, John 1, 35, and I think we're going through 41. It may be 40 or 41 up there, but that's where we're going to stop, is it through 41. Just a few short verses. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a minute. If you go back and you look at the 29th verse in that scripture, you'll see that the day before, he basically said the same thing. But this day is another day, the next day, and so he is, when they heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. And they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher or master, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of that day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, you hear this? This is Peter's brother. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see this reading, this is a very, very good scripture. And it's about Andrew, how he starts to follow Christ. He was following John the Baptist. He had been following him, been with John the Baptist. He was hearing about Jesus. He knew things about Jesus. It's just like you. You're no different, really and truly, than Andrew. You're hearing about Jesus every Sunday as you come to church. And you know about Jesus, but you have not laid your eyes on him yet. You will, but you haven't yet. He may lay your eyes on him here as he comes back, or you may lay your eyes on him when we get to heaven. But you will see Jesus one day. But Jesus had not been around. And we know that as John the Baptist, he came to John the Baptist to baptize him, the Spirit came upon Jesus. And the dove came down, and God spoke. Now, you have to stop and think about this as we get into this story about Andrew and all the disciples. We're not just talking about one. We're going to talk about all of them, all the apostles. And as we start to think about these apostles, every one of them was on a mission of work or following someone or being in church regularly. They were on a same thing you're doing. They were on a mission to follow Christ. But it was only because they did not know who Christ was. John the Baptist knew when he came from the Spirit descended down on Jesus, he knew it was Jesus. He never met Jesus. He didn't know him, but he knew because of the Spirit that it was when he came to be baptized. And so he's walking through town. He's walking along the way. I don't know where they were at exactly, but as he walked along, John told him the day before, there's the Messiah. There's Jesus. And it hit him like, really? That's Jesus. That's the Messiah. That's the teacher. That's the master. Yes, John said. But they didn't follow him that day. You know, that's just like we are, folks. I truly believe we mimic them people right there more than you know, because they're thinking. We think about Jesus all the time. We think, what if Jesus came through? What if he walked through here right now? I said, here's Jesus. Would you believe me? Would you want to follow him? What would your thoughts be? And we know that the scripture says, when he said, look, there is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. They believed that this was Jesus. They believed this was the Messiah, the Master, the teacher that they wanted to learn from. So we see that it doesn't really tell us who the two were, except one was Andrew. We know that, but we don't really know who the other one was. I personally think it was probably John, because John, he never really mentions his name in anything he writes, because he don't want any recognition. And he doesn't say, oh, it's me. I was there with him, and it's all about me. No, he doesn't do that. And I kind of think that it was probably him that was with Andrew that day. But I have no way of knowing that. It could have been Thomas, because it is. I think it's over about chapter 21. It talks about that it could have been maybe Thomas. But we know that they started following Jesus. Jesus saw him following him. Jesus was walking down the sidewalk, as we would call it today. He's walking down a dirt road, I'm sure. And he knows everything. And he knows they're behind him. And folks, this is where I think today we get kind of confused a little bit. Because today we want to say, well, we want to ask Jesus, you know, we want to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. Jesus starts working on your heart. You would not be here today if Jesus wasn't working on your heart. You would not be here today if he was not wooing you, calling you to come to him. You're here because you love Jesus, because you want to learn more, because you want to know more. And so we see that as he walks along the dirt road, we see that he turns around and he says to the two disciples, Andrew and one other, what is it that I could do for you today? What can I do to help you? What is it that you desire from me? You know, we've heard that all of our life, that there's things that people ask us, what do you want from me? I know you're following me for a reason. What do you want from me? And so that's what they're saying. And so he turns around, he says, what do you want? And he asked them, and they replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, master, where are you staying? Come and see, he said. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. Now, folks, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're walking, and they're asking Jesus. I'm sure it's just kind of a way to make conversation. And they're saying, like, I might ask Brian, where are you staying here tonight? You staying at the Quality Inn, or you go stay up here at the old Avalon, or where you go stay, Brian? I hope it's not there. But anyway, it could be. But anyway, we want to know, you know, where are you at? Where are you going to be staying? And he said, well, why don't you come and see? And folks, I want you to stop and think about this. Jesus invited them to come and see where he was staying. I doubt very seriously, now I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I doubt very seriously that it was a very nice place. I'd say it was probably a rundown place. It may have even been a cave that he had found that he was staying in. I think that it was probably something on the lower side of town, is what I believe. And I believe that because Andrew is fixing to be a follower of him. He's fixing to be a disciple. And he is wanting to teach Andrew. He knew this was going to take place. He's wanting to teach Andrew, you follow me, you can follow me all the rest of your life, but don't expect to live in a mansion here on this earth. Don't expect things that I'm going to make you wealthy and all of the good things here on this earth. You will one day have a mansion, but it may be here, if you follow me, it may be that you will have very little. And I think that he wanted to show Andrew, I have nothing to offer except myself, except the kingdom, except the Father. I have nothing to offer you here on this earth, nothing except me and the Father. Today, folks, we see Andrew. He's wanting to go with Jesus. He's wanting to see where he's staying. He's wanting to find out all he can about Jesus. And we see that he is pretty much fascinated with Jesus because after he sees Jesus and finds out where he's staying and everything that's going on, he leaves to go get his brother Peter. He couldn't wait to go find Simon Peter and tell him what he had done. He had found Jesus. But today, folks, as we as Christians and we as followers of Christ, I want you to stop and think about, if you were Andrew and you followed Jesus home and he happened to be staying in a cave, maybe he'd made him a place there in the cave to stay, would you have been wanting to follow somebody like that? You'd said, bless his heart, we need to take up a love offering for this dude. But this was the beginning of the church, folks. This was the beginning. And we know that he was putting together the apostles so that he could continue to tell everyone he could about his kingdom. Today, would we follow Jesus today had we been in Andrew's shoes? Would you think? You have to answer that question yourself. We can't answer it for you. But we see the obedience that Andrew had to him. The obedience that he had to Jesus was unreal. He's saying to Jesus, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to know more about you. I want you to teach me. I want you to show me everything that you can. I want to learn from you. I don't want you learning everything from me or Brian because we're just humans just like you are. But we do want to tell you about Jesus and what we know about Jesus. And we want you to prepare yourself to follow Christ because this is what he asked of all of us, folks. Andrew is all excited because he's met Jesus. He's following Jesus. He left John the Baptist standing where he was. And he said, you go on and do your deal, dude. I'm going to do mine. I'm going with Jesus. And so he's all excited. How many of us today get excited about following Jesus? We don't. We don't. We come to church on Sunday, but we don't want to be excited about Jesus. We don't want anybody to know that we're a follower of Christ. We don't want anybody to know that I live my life for Christ. I'm not living for something of this world. I'm not living for anyone else. I am a follower of Christ. And this story that we're reading today about Andrew coming to follow Jesus and how obedient he was to what he was wanting to learn from Jesus, we know so much more today, folks. Jesus has come. Jesus has come and placed himself upon the cross, died for our sins. He came for you and for me. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. I mean, this story goes on and on, and it is so wonderful. But how many of us are excited about it? We're not. We don't want to talk about it outside of church. You get outside of church, and we're not talking about Jesus. We're not talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection. We're not talking about it because we got other things to talk about. We're not talking about how I was with Jesus. Andrew could say, I was with Jesus, and I saw all these miracles happening. We're not talking about it because it's not the cool thing to do. It's not the cool thing to do to talk about Jesus. It's not the cool thing to do to talk about America. It's not the cool thing to do to talk about anything outside of something crazy. If it's crazy, you can talk about it, and everybody will think you're right. But it's not the cool thing to do, folks, and we don't do it. We don't do it. And that's just where Andrew was testifying about Jesus, that he wanted to tell someone. And he thought, if I can tell Peter, my brother Peter, I know Peter will come with me to see Jesus. And we'll be talking about Peter. It'll be a little bit later that we'll be talking about Peter, but we will. And we'll see how Peter, and we all know the story about how Peter responded and how everything he done. But Andrew was more like just a kind of like they call me a slow daddy. I see, because he was excited about it, but he wasn't in the middle of a whole lot of stuff, was he, Brian? He was just kind of floating around, you know. But he did go get Peter. He introduced someone. It doesn't matter if it was Peter. He introduced someone to Christ. How many people have you introduced to Christ? How many people have you told what Christ has done for them and for you and for me? How many have we? You know, so many times you get around a bunch of preachers, you hear a lot of stuff. And so many times throughout the years, I've heard lots and lots and lots of stuff from different preachers. And the one thing that probably gets on my nerves the most is they'll say, well, I've saved this many people. I've baptized this many people. I've done this. I've done that. You hadn't done nothing. I mean, you hadn't done nothing, dude. I hate to tell you, but you hadn't done nothing. You may have been working for Jesus. You may have been telling people about Jesus, but it's God's work. It's not your work. And it's God's work that took Jesus and placed him on a cross. That was for you and for me. It wasn't for anybody else. It wasn't for me to brag about. When they'll ask me, how many people have you baptized? How many people have you saved? I have no idea, brother. You don't have an idea? No, I sure don't. I'm not keeping up with that number because I have no idea what number it might be. Might not be nobody. But that's between me and the Lord. It's not between me and some preacher somewhere that's talking about what all he's done. Today, folks, we face this in every angle we go. Everybody's talking about what they've done for Christ. What they've done in some type of way. It's all about them. It's not about them and it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Every bit of it is about Jesus and the Father. And folks, we have to understand this. I was reading a thing this week, and it was talking about, there's been a lot of stuff in the news this week about lots of things pertaining to the church. But I was reading this thing this week, and it said, preachers won't even talk about the fact that Jesus is your Savior. That Jesus came and died for you. They don't even want to talk about it in church. They want to talk about something else. They want to talk about love. They want to talk about this. They want to talk about that. They do not want to talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Folks, He is our Savior. Andrew knew this is the Messiah. Andrew saw it. He could feel it. He could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with this man. And he knew that he had to follow him. I hope you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I hope you know you have no other choice but to follow Jesus Christ. I hope you know it's not an option. And I hope you know that you cannot follow him on Sunday and you get out here on Monday and do what you want to do. You cannot do that, folks, because it's not about what you do. It's not about your works or your, but it is a whole lot about your actions, what they see you doing, what people think of you and how people see you. It's a whole lot about that. Whether they see Christ in you is very, very important. You are the church, every one of us, me and being number one. I mean, if you're going to be the preacher, you need to be the one that they look at and think, maybe he is the preacher if he says he is. Excuse me. Two-thirds of the time, you see me in town, I don't look like the preacher. I don't apologize for that. There's a reason for that. Two-thirds of the time, when you see me and I don't look like the preacher, I may stop and visit someone that doesn't want me to have a tie on, doesn't want me to be dressed like the preacher, doesn't want me to act like the preacher, that they would think that I would be if I come to see them. But I like to be welcomed in, and I think that was what Jesus did. He liked to be welcomed in anybody's home. He liked to be seen as just a normal person. But he was not only a normal person, he was the Messiah. And we know that it wasn't to Jesus about who you were, how you dressed, how much money you had. He called a bunch of old roughneck boys. It was kind of like that Western, The Dirty Dozen. You know, everybody's seen that Western. He just called a group of old dirty boys and put them together and said, look, we've got a kingdom to build, and I need y'all to help me build it. Andrew was the first. We're going to continue to see them being put together on through the next few weeks. And all the way through to Paul. We're going to include Paul in this as well. So all the way through, I want you to look and I want you to think about each one of them. How Andrew, if he hadn't been willing to go and find Peter, had he not been willing to go and share what he saw and what he knew, where would we be today? It would have happened, but it would have just took a little longer. But folks, it's very important that you play your role. It's very important that you be the Christian he called you to be, because you don't want him to say, well, Mike, if you'd have went on and done what I asked you to do, then we would have been able to got ahead of this game a little bit. But you've been dragging around now, the slow daddy that you are. You've been dragging around, and here we go. We're not where we need to be, because of you. We don't want that, do we? When we get to heaven, we want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And folks, I think today as we come to the table and we come to think about Andrew and how he responded to Jesus, how he followed Jesus, knowing that I went home with this man. This man's not rich. I went to see where he lived. He fed me maybe a little bread, a little morsel of something to keep me from being starved. But he hasn't took me to the fanciest restaurant in town. He hasn't taken me anywhere to show me what he could do or what he couldn't do. He is showing me who he is, where he's at, where he's living, and it's nothing to be proud of. That part of his life is nothing to be proud of. And we have to stop and we have to think about it and we have to ask ourselves, would we follow him today? Would you have stayed the night? I don't know if they stayed the night or if they went back home that night. You can read different commentaries and different things, and some say he stayed and some say he didn't. Some say it would have been on the Sabbath had he stayed, and he didn't stay because it would have been on the Sabbath and he needed to get back home before the Sabbath started. But can you imagine, folks, the conversation that went on that night between Andrew, the other disciple, and Jesus? I can't imagine being able to sit and visit and talk with Jesus. I hope when we get to heaven, and I think we will, we'll be able to spend some time at his feet. And we will hear stories, and we will be able to ask, and we will receive in a way that we never have before. But until that day, he came and he placed himself upon this cross. He could have walked off, folks, but he was obedient to the Father. And he shed his blood for your sins. And he shed his body for you. It was for you and for me. And today as we come to the table, excuse me, got a frog in my throat. But today as we come to the table, yeah, Brian just drank a little out of it. It don't matter to me. That's the last thing that would worry me. He's still walking around, so I figure I will too. But it wasn't open. I just fooling with you. But thank you, Brian. But as we come, folks, to the table, Jesus offered himself to us. This is his body, and this is his blood. As we come and invite you to the table today, I want you to know this is not Grace Life's table. This table doesn't belong to us. It doesn't have Grace Life wrote on it. It doesn't have Mike wrote on it, Brian wrote on it, anything. It's God's table. It's the Lord's table. And through this table, he offers to us an invitation to come. If you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, if you have given your life to him, he says, come and partake of my body which was broken for you. And if you have, then come and partake of this table because it's your table. It's the Lord's table and he offers it to you. If you haven't, then you might want to think about maybe letting it slide until you can think about accepting him and knowing him and having a relationship with him. But folks, remember, this is between you and the Lord. It's not between Mike and you. As we come this morning for the table, I'll give you just a few moments for your own personal confession, and we will have a prayer of confession. Father, as we come, we all come knowing that we're sinners. We know we're forgiven sinners. We know that Jesus died upon this cross that we can have eternal life. And we thank you so much, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus. We confess our sins before you today as we come to the table. And we pray, Father, that you will know our hearts. We pray that you know us better than we know ourselves. And Father, you show us our weaknesses, and you show us where we need to confess our sins. Today, Father, we thank you for the body and the blood of Jesus as represented here today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, it's through this death, burial, and resurrection that we have the assurance. We know we have eternal life. And I want you to know and understand as we partake in this table today that this is a guaranteed assurance. It is assuring you that this is yours. This is for you. And it's for me. So come and enjoy and feel and touch and taste and smell the body and the blood of Christ. Give me just a minute. first time I've had to drink water like that, bro. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, I asked Brian to come, if he would, help me here with the bread and the wine. On the night that he was betrayed, folks, he was sitting around a table with his disciples, with the apostles. And as he was sitting around this table, we know that he reached over and he got the loaf like Brian has right now. And he broke it. And he said, guys, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. And so likewise, he took the cup that was a common cup that was passed around to everyone. And he took the cup and he held it and he said, guys, listen, this is my blood that was shed for you. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. He said, this is the new covenant between God and his people. So today, as we come to the table, and we see the broken body, the bread that's broken, the cup with the wine, we know that it is the body and the blood of Christ. This is why we break it, and this is why it's visible unto you, that you can see this broken body. You can see this blood that was shed for you. Yes, we're going to partake our own cup in a few minutes, but we want you to know that this is very symbolic of what went on that very night. And this is the representation. If our elders will come forward, start coming forward, we're going to have a blessing over the bread and the wine. Father, at this time, if you would take this bread, take this wine that we're about to partake of, and Father, make it for us the body and the blood of Christ. Father, let us know, and as we taste it and we smell it, that it is Jesus himself. Father, let this be very meaningful to each and every one of us. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for giving us the opportunity to be able to feel you in a very special way. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.